Good evening, you meditators, you.
Happy Valentine's.
Randy forgot. He said, remind everybody Happy Valentine's. I forgot to say it. So, we're studying our minds. My. Human thoughts and feelings and behaviors. All of that's rooted in the mind. And, you know, some wise people say it's all about the mind as far as suffering. But the mind, it's where a complex network of cells receives information constantly from inside and outside of us. And we're transforming this information into our experience of ourselves and the world around us. Quite a system, huh? And we begin to see our relationship to it all. Not to condemn ourselves or shame ourselves, but beginning to realize that we didn't even know that we weren't living completely because there are things in our lives that we pushed away that are very, very important to know. And they come under the umbrella of good, bad, and ugly. So the first thing we learned, thank goodness, is that we are not our thoughts. Any more than we are all the other phenomena that we absolutely experience as human beings. They're just phenomena. And when the body leaves, all that phenomena will leave with the body because it just comes with being a human being. And it can never define us. So, as Randy says, our state of mind is our mood or mental state at a particular time, any time. But the important thing about mind states is, of course, to notice them. But they create this, our attitudes, our perspective, our outlook, our approach, our disposition, way of looking at things. And so a lot of them can be very unconscious. And as I've said before, one of the things in meditation we can count on is that the subconscious is going to arise to consciousness. We're going to see things are going to come up that we have stuffed for some reason or another along the way. Mostly just a lack of wisdom and what to do with it. So let's take a closer look of our mind states that we're personally dealing with. And this is just for your use. You don't have to share it with anybody. So let's do an activity. Okay, this is it. Write down a list of four ways you feel about yourself, starting with the most important in adding in decreasing order. Don't waller in it, just write it.
Miss Craven, could you kind of repeat the instruction?
Sure. Write down four ways you feel about yourself. It's how you see yourself. How do you see yourself? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? The fourth would be the last thing that comes to your mind. And again, be honest with yourself because this is for no one but yourself. Now, across from that list, write down the opposite of the feeling. For instance, you may feel you're honest, so the opposite would be dishonest. Now we want to look at the opposite qualities that we wrote down. At the top of the list, those on the right-hand side are the ones we struggle with. And we fear them when they come up. And of course, we all have the same range of mind states. So we're subject to them all, whether we want to admit it or not. They're there. But those are the ones that we, for some reason or another, we've pushed away. So these will be the qualities that will create the most inward tension when they arise. And again, I can't stress enough that all qualities of mind exist within everyone's consciousness. That's where we get confused. We think many times that it's just us, but it's just not true. You know, once you learn completely how to be 100% human being, then you know all human beings. So the more we fear a state of mind, the more ferociously it will erupt into consciousness through how well we'll react to it. Automatic. So here we're trying to notice, because it's all okay, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're not dividing. That's what the mind does, is divide all this stuff up. But for healing purposes and for the truth, it's allowing the two opposing qualities to meet in your mind without tension. So that would be acceptance. And I love this example, because I see this is where we get caught sometimes, especially if we see ourselves on the spiritual journey. If you see yourself as a kind person, can you allow unkindness to coexist when it's present? Oh, no, 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 I'm not unkind. See where we fool ourselves? And it's just because we don't understand or have a little understanding that that unkindness is in all of us. It's been given to us along with the human body. So what do we do with it? Now, we know that if we react to unkindness, there's all kinds of suffering that occurs. But we know in this practice, if we rein on it, we recognize it, we investigate it, we become interested in it in a way we've never probably been interested in it before. And those three processes nurture us. How? Because we begin to accept the truth. All of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's going to everything. Not pushing every parts of our life away. That's just so difficult for me at times. So offset the fear of having unkindness arise with the willingness to learn about it. Again, don't push it away. Not easy. So we want to say, well, what does unkindness feel like in the body and the mind? And that's what our meditation enables us to do, exactly how to do that. How does the unkindness express itself in thought and action? And sometimes when we are on a spiritual journey or we start a spiritual journey, then we put these expectations on ourselves. I told Randy the other day, I can remember a time when we said, all right, no more TV. We're going to put the TV away because that's not spiritual. You know, that's evil. You know, that shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't even do it. Well, I don't know how long we did it, but we found ourselves when we were out and about or anybody else's home, we'd run to the TV and look at it. and if there was color TV, we didn't allow ourselves color TV for a long time. We were just so excited about it. But the lesson there is we set up something because We set some concepts up about what's holy, and it's all holy. Watching TV can be just as holy as anything else. It's what we bring to these aspects of life that either frees us or causes us suffering. So we brought the TV back up, thank goodness. But again, we sometimes impose these kinds of things on ourselves about how we should be. And it's just not true. We're fooling ourselves. So we don't want to judge it. We just want to see it. And opening to both sides of the polarity will diminish and will finally end the tensions that create the mental division. Now, did I say that it would go away and never come back again? No, that's not what I said. The teaching says it ends the tensions that create mental division. So what is causing the suffering is how we're relating to the duality. See where the conflict is. In our practice, we put forth the right effort to face ourselves without distortion and judgment. That's hard for us. But that's why we have to remind ourselves of that. Being kind to ourselves. Otherwise, we won't go there. Why cause more suffering if we don't know what to do with things that in the past has caused us suffering? So, our compassion opens us up to all of it. And the presence or the absence of any quality of mind does not determine who we are any more than our thoughts do. any more than our feelings do, any more than our emotions do. It's part of being a human being. And so it's not true to say, oh, I'm an angry person, even though we may be irritated and angry at times. We don't personalize these mind states. They're not our mind states. We're not seeing reality as it truly is. We're learning the nature, the true nature of it all. And so what we do is we experience unconscious avoidance. Now, again, we're becoming more conscious. Whether we know it or not, we're becoming more conscious because of where we are pointing ourselves. But few of us had thought about the implications of what happens when we avoid parts of life that we don't want. Because we do not realize that turning away from anything, inward or outward experience, empowers it. It empowers it. That means it can come stronger. And so, like a rubber band, whatever way we lean into or away from the mind, it comes back with an equal force in the opposite direction. Again, we have to experience that for ourselves. Saying it, hearing it, is not enough. That's why the practice is all about don't believe anything, but trust yourself and find out for yourself. So this can be a difficult concept to understand unless we explore the nature of the shadow. I was so relieved to know that I was not an angry person. There is anger. So the shadow consists of unpleasant states of mind or addictive behaviors that do not fit our self-image and are created by unconsciously turning around of the many things that we have not brought to us, to ourselves, about ourselves. So when we move away from one state of mind towards another, we divide our minds into two parts and we pit one part against the other. Is that true? Is that true? So there is the actual experience of the mind state that competes with our image. See the rub? See the rub? Which is attempting to exclude this state. So the image is in conflict with reality, the state of mind. And where there is conflict, there is suffering. We don't even realize the suffering the mind brings us until we experience a quiet and peaceful mind. We don't know what we're missing. We don't know what we're missing in life when we push things away that we're not comfortable with. And we just pretend that the state of mind doesn't exist. And we again send it into the dark places of ourselves. But it's not going to go away. Because all this phenomena needs, all of it, is recognition. That's the simplicity. But boy, that's difficult. It's too simple. That's what the mind's saying. It's too simple. We believe out of sight, out of mind, but that's not what really happens. When we refuse to acknowledge any aspects of reality, we infuse it with power. And again, we have to see this for ourselves. Because everything, all this phenomena, has a nature of its own. That means it's not necessarily what we think about it. It's we have an opportunity through this practice to see the truth of it all. And so we project it on others too. It becomes easier to say, oh, she's an angry person or he's so fearful. We project it and it's directed outward onto someone else. And we can be free from it. Well, I can recognize that in you. But can we recognize it in ourselves? And so this intolerance can loom so large in our minds that we create these myths of the devil, Satan, hell, Mara. To put it in its category, its power, and give something to battle against it. So, meditation is simply being with things as they are. Or said in another way, meditation is the art of leaving the mind alone. That doesn't mean when we are using the mind to plan or we're using the mind in the way it's designed to be used in a healthy way. But happy, happy, empty, empty, happy, happy. See for yourself when the mind is empty, is there more happiness than when it is spinning and busy? These are things we all have to find out for ourselves. And so, let's get busy. Thank you for being good listeners. Randy's going to come in, of course, and then we're going to open it to you.